I think you have to start with the self-belief. You have to start with the kind words to yourself. You have to start with the belief that you are a success or that you can attain the success that you're after. And everything will work better when you've got the machine revved up and roaring to go.
If there's anything I've learned from my time caring for the seriously ill, it's to appreciate the extraordinary gift of this thing we call life. Hi, I'm Dr. Kathy Zhang, palliative care physician, author, and speaker, and my goal is to bring the clarity, purpose, and meaning often found at the end of life to help you live your best and most fulfilling existence now. I truly believe everyone on this planet has a purpose, and it's my mission to help you filter out the noise and discover yours. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of the Purpose Filter Podcast. As promised, this is the second episode of the New Year Purposeful You series, and today we're talking procrastination. But not only that, we're talking identity, mindset, and habits, and really uncovering the deeper beliefs that cause us to act the way that we do. This interview really shifted how I view procrastination. I'm a huge procrastinator, and I'm so excited for you to listen because I know you will totally see things in a new light after this. Now, Dr. Christine Lee is a clinical psychologist in private practice in New York City, and she's also known for her work as the procrastination coach online. Her blog is the number one blog in the world on the topic of procrastination, and she's helped thousands overcome the procrastination habit and get crystal clear on what needs to be done so they can get into action fast and achieve their goals. Dr. Lee's new book, 5-Minute Self-Discipline Exercises, Stay Motivated, Cultivate Good Habits, and Achieve Your Goals, is a compilation of her best strategies set inside an engaging workbook format. Listen to Dr. Lee's podcast, Make Time for Success, for inspiration for creating a life of joy, productivity, and abundance. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Purpose Filter. We are so lucky to be joined today by Dr. Christine Lee. Hi.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Kathy.
How are you? I'm so glad you could spare the time to come on the show.
I'm so glad to be with you. You're lovely to interview me and invite me on the show.
Yeah. Okay. So we heard a little bit about you from your bio, but I'd love to hear from yourself if you could share a little bit more about you, your background, and how you got to where you are now.
All right, then. I am a lifelong procrastinator. So that's essentially how I accidentally became procrastination coach. I'm a clinical psychologist by training, and I was working at a large university, and a dean there requested a procrastination workshop, and my hand shot up because I was a volunteer, despite the fact that I knew nothing about how to run a procrastination workshop. And of course, the long story short is that I started researching for the topic and realized that I was in dire need of help for my own very chronic, very severe procrastination behaviors. I was anxious all the time. I would never sleep. I always thought I was going to fail whatever was coming up next. I never felt calm, and I never really had mental clarity as a result. And I went through all of my schooling, including my PhD years, with that kind of clutter in my mind and my heart. And of course, when I realized, oh, it's actually not that difficult an issue to remedy or to mitigate, it was mission time for me. So that's what I've been doing online for about 10 years, really just trying to get the word out that procrastination is not a personality flaw or something that's permanent within you. It's something that's actually a changeable habit.
Oh my gosh, that is so refreshing to hear, because I am so like you, or the past you, I assume, where I just, you know, I'm like, I've tried so many things, and this interview is probably a lot of self-interest because I just like, I'm like, how do I figure it out? And I know a lot of people like me as well. So it's really great to hear that It's just a pattern of thoughts or habits or things like that, things that we do unconsciously. So my first question is, what is procrastination? I mean, I think we all know it as postponing or delaying something and waiting till the last minute, but is there something more to that? Is there something deeper than that?
I think we're all very different in our level and type and style of procrastination. I'd like to say that I'm the queen because I've done all of them, but of course I hear stories and they're very interesting too of people doing anything they can to avoid a certain trigger or fear or project. And I don't think there's any one through line about procrastination, but so often, I think when you really dig deep, there is some sort of fear that the person is calculating is worth staying away from. It's worth facing embarrassment, personal shame, inconvenience, expense, just to stay away from that fear. And as you know, sometimes we're not fully aware of what's really getting at us or what is terrifying or what is keeping us procrastinating when it makes no sense. And by the way, I think the fact that it makes no sense keeps people really locked in shame in a big way. I call procrastination the last taboo. We can talk about everything in the world, I think, but not how we're procrastinating.
Yeah, so true. And it's just, it's this seemingly unbreakable cycle. Like you said, the fear and knowing that it's maybe irrational or we should be doing something, but we're not. And why are we not doing it? So are there categories of reasons why people procrastinate? I think you mentioned like fear being the underlying kind of theme, but what are some of the different ways that people procrastinate that you've seen and some of the themes around that?
I think that's a great question. And I think fear is numero uno. I would say number two would be self-belief, that people do not believe that they're the kind of person who could succeed at something that they've never tried before, or something that feels beyond them, or something that they don't feel prepared for, when really so much of what we do in life really doesn't require a lot of skill, a lot of preparation, or even for us to have the full identity of the person who is, for example, a great public speaker. You have to be someone who tries public speaking to be a good public speaker. And we forget that journey piece. It's the Instagram phenomenon where you see everyone looking bright and sparkly, and you don't see that they are really putting the effort and the time in and the training and doing the scary things over the years so that they can be the bright and sparkly public speaker. So I think self-belief is a habit where you don't believe that you're worthy. You don't believe that your skills can expand even. So that's a big reason. That's why coaching is so beneficial to people who have been stuck for a long time. The third thing that I see is sometimes that there's a skill deficit of some kind. Nothing critical, but something just big enough to make the person feel the pang of fear, which then sets them up for the cycle of, oh, it must not be the right time right now. My favorite thing to do since feeling like I've recovered from procrastination is just to try everything. For instance, in the online space, there's so many things you can do. You could do Facebook Lives. You could host a podcast. You could put out a book. You could do a summit. You could host a summit. You could put out a course. And each of these things requires labor. But more than the labor, it requires just the energy to say, I'm going to fling this out into the world. And that is not an inborn talent. I think that's just something that we will ourselves to do. And everybody has that amount of willpower, I believe. We're just not necessarily accustomed to enjoying that or trying that at every opportunity. So now I've become a person who'll really say yes to pretty much anything if I feel it's going to be fun.
Right. I think that's so telling that the things that you mentioned, number one, fear, number two, self-belief or this identity, or maybe this thought that our skills are just finite, that we can't broaden our capabilities. And then the third, which might be something actually concrete, which is a skill deficit, but not necessarily a huge one. Maybe we're blowing it out of proportion. But the first two are all internal, right? It's all emotions. It's all emotional states and things that we believe. So I really want to, you mentioned something about enjoying. I really want to ask, is there any, certainly there's the pain of fear and moving away from that, but is there, have you seen that there's maybe instances where people actually subconsciously or unconsciously derive some sort of pleasure from procrastinating? Like sometimes I think, and I wonder if I do it because I know that I'm capable. And so I wait to the last minute to, in a sense, prove my, I don't know, my own worth or prove my own capabilities. Is that a thing?
Yes. One of the books that I read while I was doing the research for the workshop said that procrastination is really when we cut off the performance so that we avoid the judgment. So what you're potentially doing by waiting to the last minute is saying, oh, this actually wasn't about my full performance. So you can't really fully judge me. And once I got that little formula, I thought, oh, I can allow myself to try over time. It was something I had never, ever done before because I, like you, waited to oftentimes after the final moment was allowed to really get the motivation to start. I think it was relying on external factors to release the internal tension. Once I learned that, oh, I don't actually need internal tension to start, that things became much easier to produce ahead of time.
Wow. Okay. So what I'm hearing and what I'm internalizing is that in a sense, it's the fear of rejection, right? Because we're saying that like, I waited to the last minute. It wasn't my best effort, but I got it done. And if for some reason it doesn't turn out as I hoped, or it doesn't turn out as well as I want to, the result, well, it's because I procrastinated. You know, I waited to the last minute. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I am very much like you with the whole valor idea of, oh, I could do this hard thing at the very last minute. And then we feel wiped out and we feel like we've somehow abused ourselves and our time, but we're in that cycle again because we haven't had the practice of trusting that it will be valuable. It will be of worth. It will be okay if we try and if we do it in a calmer way and if we do it in a kind of maybe more mundane way. So maybe we're not getting the thrill out of it, but I really want to advocate not using your work to get your thrills, because I'm an advocate of using your relationships and drama, like going to movies and go get your thrills elsewhere. Let your work be your work so that you can peacefully succeed at it and let it go when it's not work time.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That is really eye-opening to hear that. So let's say someone is like, okay, I think I understand at least where it comes from, why I'm doing it. So what next? How do I maybe break the pattern? How do I make the habits to start a little earlier and not wait till the last minute?
Okay. So I have a quick way of remembering the techniques that really helped me to set the stage for better functioning. And it's, the word is SMACK, S-M-A-C-K. I came up with that while driving my minivan many years ago. So S is simplicity. So you really want to simplify everything. Oftentimes when we're going to solve a problem, we oftentimes feel, oh, let's add something, let's do something. And sometimes it's actually the opposite. We need to let all the stuff go, all the extraneous worries, all the physical clutter that might be surrounding you and making you confused and not focused. Start with simplifying. And I always say, if you have the choice between organizing 100 papers and two, what do you choose? Our brain is going to beg for the two scenario. So simplify what you can. It doesn't have to be a lot, but once you get in the habit of saying, oh, let me choose the easier route, let me not make this overly complicated, you've already won. You've already kind of done yourself a favor in the procrastination boat. The next letter is M for mindfulness. And like you, I think I try to guide people to really stay in the present moment, because that's where you have your power. So regretting and feeling ashamed about things and running behind your deadlines, that's living in this kind of chaotic, unsettled past view of yourself, when really your whole range of functioning is in the present moment, actually. And it also goes to say that you should not be worrying about your future. So don't be predicting what the criticism is going to be when you submit your paper or you finish your project. You want to say, it may be coming, but I'm going to make my work as powerful and as good as I have time for. So really accepting that that's what we can affect, the present moment.
Okay, I love that. So simplicity, mindfulness, staying in the present, not the past or the future, and focusing on that. Okay, so what are the rest of the SMAC?
Yeah, A is anxiety reduction.
Okay.
Which is, I think, a big one, of course, because anxiety drives procrastination. And we know there's meditation, there's yoga, but I think what we don't speak enough about is how much control we have over our thoughts and feelings and the tone that we can set for our bodies and how we perform throughout the day, even under really stressful circumstances. I mean, you want to think of like doctors, firefighters, frontline people. There's a way that they are consciously regulating their reactions to stressful stimuli. And I think it's a great skill to learn to do that for the everyday person. And we have many different ways of treating ourselves to those lessons. So you have YouTube. I have a teacher who has a YouTube channel. Her name is Melanie Moore, M-O-O-R-E, and she teaches emotion freedom technique or tapping. So our listeners can explore that. It's a gentle way of guiding yourself to leave your old story about what's going on and invite the new story that's more adaptive, that's more advantageous, that's more calming than the ball of stress you were hanging on to before. So go for the simple techniques to reduce your anxiety that make sense for your time and your personality. Make it yours. Make it fun. Make it not a drag. Because if it's going to be a drag, you're going to avoid it. So let's make it easy for you.
Absolutely. I just, you know, what's so wild is that literally a day or two ago, I kind of was led through a tapping kind of session from, and that's the first time I've ever done it. And they ask you to focus on a feeling and rate it. And mine was anxiety. And I had it at a 7. And afterwards it was a 3. And I felt so light. And it was just kind of really incredible. So Melanie Moore on YouTube, I think that is definitely something that our listeners are going to be interested in. Okay, awesome. So we're almost halfway through the SMAC. The C is...
Yes. The C is something that's completely not spoken about when it comes to procrastination, I believe, and that is communication. When we procrastinate, we tend to fall into shame, and then we tend to not communicate what is needed. So that we need help, that we need extra time, that we're on the wrong project, that the whole thing is wrong, that you need an extra day, whatever you need to communicate. Or that you got confused about the directions. It could be anything, but I want to pass on the message that you have permission to communicate on your own behalf, because it's actually not just going to help you. It's going to help everyone that's involved with your work or with you and your life. And I think we fail to communicate because we feel like we are not deserving of help, or the situation we've created causes us to just fall flat emotionally, and we fail to rescue ourselves from the situation. And once you communicate, you realize, oh, it wasn't that bad. Oh, they weren't waiting for it anyway. Oh, they actually can give me more time, and I can do this without berating myself or torturing myself in a way. So communicate, 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 communicate ahead of time, communicate before you think it's necessary, get into that new habit, because procrastinators were always kind of, you know, two steps slower. Let's get maybe one step ahead of ourselves. And when you get to that point after a while of deciding, oh, I can take care of myself in this way, time starts to reorient around you and you start to use time in a different way where you are taking advantage of your current minutes. You're not letting them slip by. You're not as inclined to do TikTok, which I just discovered and is a terrible waste of time, I think. Very entertaining, but oh my gosh, what a use of time there. So you have more control over your energy system when you're not procrastinating because you have your entire range of time available to you.
Right. That's okay. Great. Okay. Communication and asking for help. All right.
Yes. And the last one is K, the most important one, kindness to self. So we mentioned self-image earlier. If we're not treating ourselves kindly and we're just waiting and hoping for other people to lift us up, support us, tell us we're good enough, you're slowing down your entire operating system, I think. I think you have to start with the self-belief. You have to start with the kind words to yourself. You have to start with the belief that you are a success or that you can attain the success that you're after. And everything will work better when you've got the machine revved up and roaring to go and feeling positively. Of course, positive mindset is also so helpful. I do believe in all of those woo-woo principles that if you're thinking positively, you're going to see positive things come into your life. Yeah, it really happens that way. So it's SMAC, simplicity, mindfulness, anxiety reduction, communication as much as you can, and kindness to self always. That's just a permanent rule.
Okay. This is so, so helpful. I've been scribbling notes furiously. And something that came to mind also with the self-belief and the identity is the concept of procrastination and perfectionism, right? Is that I can just imagine, and I see it in myself, putting things off because I want it to be as perfect as possible because I don't want others to judge me or feel ashamed of my performance. But then that cycle of being like the stress of putting it off. In that sense, is that something you notice in your clients who procrastinate?
Yes. I think that perfectionists are in some ways the ones who suffer more because perfectionism is a really difficult thing to chase. Right.
Impossible.
Once you attain it. Right. Well, let's say you do attain it, then the very next thing you do needs to be at that level too, because if you're perfect, everything has to be perfect. So I joke that perfectionism is the fastest way to slow yourself down. And personally, I like to fit in everything I can. So perfectionism really is counter to that. If I'm going to lean perfectionistic, I'm going to have no time to get to know someone or to learn a new hobby or to figure something else out because I'm spinning my wheels over here. And I also joke that I'm such a disorganized person at heart that I don't have really the skills to be a perfectionist. But I would say perfectionism is an avoidance of that criticism. But what if you could say to yourself, I am not going to be worried about that anymore, that it's conscious anxiety reduction, saying that whatever that person's opinions are that person's opinions. They exist for them. They exist as words, but they don't have to erode my self-esteem or how I see myself or even how I see my work. It's their opinion, right? And when you set boundaries like that, you can push your work to a deeper level because you're not really concerned about what the reactions are going to be. You're concerned about the quality of your work. And you can only do so much. I think there are limitations to what we can do, but we don't want those to be forced by our fears of other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I wondered, do you have thoughts on maybe sometimes we want to change so much, we don't want to procrastinate, but are there Do you have thoughts about why we sometimes maybe choose to remain stuck in situations that we don't prefer or are not helpful to us?
Habits.
Mm-hmm.
It's all habits. This is my recent thing to explore. And I love reading about habits now and trying to train people about leaving old habits behind to embrace new habits. The reason why we don't leave them is because they're already habits. And because they're so well-worn, we've relied on them. They have been of service to us. They save us time. They don't make us feel panicked, like stepping on stage makes us sometimes feel panicked. So they're kind of like our old buddies. But you know what? It's good to get new buddies, especially when the old buddies are being really annoying and not helping you anymore. But I think there's a whole process of transitioning that is difficult in many ways to execute. And I believe the way to get around that is, one, you have to pick one thing. So sometimes we want to say, okay, I want to lose 30 pounds and fix my whole wardrobe and, you know, speak more confidently. That's a lot to be thinking about changing. It's all great and you can do that, but let's pick one micro habit, one teeny piece, like you can comb your hair in a different way. And let's do that for a week until you get comfortable with that. Let's do one micro habit and focus on that. Believe that that is possible. That's the second piece. You have to believe not only that you can change a habit, but you're the person who is capable of doing that. You cannot have any doubt because your old habit is going to rush in if you do.
Right. And I think what I'm noticing in that is it's breaking patterns. It's changing not only the habit, but maybe also subconsciously our identity, like you said, right? Where we do something that's a little bit different than how we did it before. And slowly, whether we realize it or not, it reinforces this something within us that, like, we're not really that person, or we're not that person that was doing those habits before.
Absolutely. So I do recommend you change the identity first,
mm-hmm.
and then you make your behaviors kind of catch up with you, and they will, because that's what your mind and body are programmed to do, is to support your beliefs. So if you're still believing you're the person who doesn't do well on stage, you hear the stories of people who, you know, they turn flush, they forget their words, they blank out, really dramatic stories of people who are perfectly skilled at being able to deliver a speech like that. Our bodies are so wise in that they're trying to protect you by supporting your beliefs. So let's give them really good beliefs to support.
Exactly. Like, if whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You can see that as a curse or a tremendous blessing,
right?
That we have such control over this magical system that we have.
Right.
The last thing about the habits is that you need to be committed. It needs to be like that hairbrushing thing. It has to become the be all end all for a while until it's really established, because life, TikTok gets in the way, Instagram gets in the way, your kids get in the way. You forget innocently. It's not that we're not interested in the new habits, but in this day and age, time feels like it's always a crunch. So we have to say, this is my mountaintop. This is my focus. This is my target, my big red target.
Right. So let's say I get to a point where I'm like, oh, I should, that thought pops up in your head where you're like, oh, you know, I have that thing that I should do. Is there something that people can say to themselves or do right then and there that they can intervene and say, make the decision to do it rather than push it off?
Yes. One of my favorite things about my brain is that it will remind me of things that I have forgotten. And so maybe a suggestion is that if your brain is like mine, you listen to that brain, because that is not, I believe, an accidental firing. It's actually the brain saying, you designated this as important at some point in time, and I'm reminding you of that. So instead of making the habit of pushing everything off, you decide, I'm going to keep my schedule really clean and clear and tight. I'm going to observe time as I've planned it. And then when your brain gives you those messages on the side, you actually have the mental and emotional flexibility to fit it in, or to at least jot it down so it doesn't get lost forever. because your brain is saying, oh, she doesn't think it's important or he doesn't think it's important.
Okay. Got it. Got it. I'm really astounded because I think the more that I listen to you talk, I think I always thought of procrastination as a productivity issue, you know, where like work and time management, and I'm just not good at that stuff. Whereas it sounds like what it is really is a set of internal beliefs. It's more rather than external. It's all about how we relate to the world, our fears of rejection of, and our fears of, and the anxiety that we have around all of that, the perfectionism, the identity that this is fixed, I'll never be able to change it. I'll never be able to, you know, be those people who do all of their stuff like 12 days before the deadline is due and things like that. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, listen to the language you're using. I'm not good at, your brain is listening. Mm-hmm. I will never do that. Your body is listening. And I'll share something that my coach says, that your belief systems are BS. And it's really funny. We believe ourselves so much. So we really want to craft our belief systems so that they're 100% supporting our highest potential and behaviors and goals. And you can do that. Absolutely. And everything you said was absolutely right. The external world did not make us procrastinators. It just didn't. And that's the good news, because then we'd really be stuck if those forces were out of our control.
Right. Like, because clearly we can accomplish what we're setting out to do, but perhaps there's a part of us that waits until the last minute to bring out that part of us that can accomplish it. There, yes. You know, we wait and we think that that's the only time that that piece of ourselves can come out, when in reality, we can bring that out at our will, in a sense.
Absolutely. I, like I said earlier, worked at a university counseling service. And one of the things that I learned from working with student after student after student is that it is never about the talent of the student. It was never about the assignment, which when you think about it, it's kind of interesting, because there's got to be some assignment that is really too much for the person it was assigned to. But I never saw that in more than 10 years of being there. It was really always some sort of internal expectation, block, or fear that was getting in the way. And then you could really work with that person and within one session or two, eliminate that block entirely. And that's a big deal.
That is so, yeah, that must be so transformative for these people, right? Where they just kind of, you work with them and something clicks and they're like, oh, this is how I've been operating my entire life.
Yeah. I think that's true whenever we change our behaviors, that we see, oh, a whole part of the world has just opened up to me.
Right. Okay. This has been so, so great. Is there anything else about procrastination that you think people should know, or mindset or habits or strategies to be successful?
I think I've said almost all of my thoughts. Your questions were fantastic. I would say, really, just to drive it home to the self-belief. Mm. If you're thinking you're not 100% in some way, whether it's skill, self-belief, or mindset, whatever it is, go find the coach, go find the material, go find the book, go take the risk of testing something out so that you can shake up the system. You won't get hurt. You will learn more about yourself and you will expand your range. And it will likely be really fun. It'll be more fun than feeling like you're working at a deficit or you're stuck in some way.
Mm, okay. Are there certain books or resources on this particular topic that you would recommend to people?
I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I have loved to share, people's stories, just like yours. Kathy was on my show for the end of the year wrap up. My show is called Make Time for Success. And I think you hear different voices, including Melanie Moore, the tapping instructor that I mentioned earlier too. So you can get inspiration from all over, really. It might be your neighbor. It might be the book that has been on your bedside table, but hasn't been opened quite yet. It might be from your child and how they're coping with something in a brand new way. It's really just allowing yourself to be more flexible with how you do things and knowing there's more than just how you do things. There are great books out there. And I think one that I've just started to listen to is called Psycho-Cybernetics. And it's an interesting premise. Their premise is that we've looked to psychologists for answers about all these things when really we should be looking to the physicians, the mathematicians, and the physicists. And so it's shaping up to be an interesting book. You might like it yourself. And really, it's just to keep an open mind, keep questioning, is my system working the way I want it to work? And that's, I think, why the books like Psycho-Cybernetics are of interest to me. I don't really read fiction anymore, unfortunately, but I'm obsessed with this self-help range of books.
Right. Same. Okay. So I'm going to get the title and the author from you and I'll put that in the show notes for everyone. Okay. So as we're wrapping up, we have a set of questions that we like to ask our guests. So if you're game, the first one is, can you name something in your everyday life that you find beautiful? Some people, it's their daily commute or just a quiet moment that they have to themselves or just something that they notice that normally they take for granted, but they find very beautiful.
Thank you for asking these questions and thank you for sharing with them with me. Thank you for sharing them with me ahead of time because I was able to think of what I think is really my real response. And what I really appreciate every day is my time freedom because I think it does connect with all the other things. It allows me to appreciate the birds and the trees and it allows me to feel like life is mine to create, that each day holds a lot of potential because I'm not bound overly so by time commitments. So I'm very lucky to say that I have that, but I also feel like I've worked to appreciate that and take advantage of that because of the procrastination recovery.
Yeah, it's just a shift in your life, right? The focus and of time feels like it's not yours to now time being like within your control in a sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Next question. What's an item on your bucket list? And two-parter, what's preventing you from crossing it off now?
Okay. So in 9th grade, I was supposed to go to Italy with my Latin class. And the day before I got hit by car. So this is kind of a life-created bucket list item where I would love to go to Italy. I haven't really actually traveled much, but COVID did interfere with my attempts to fix that. But I think I might be getting on a plane before the end of the year. So let's cross our fingers that there will be no more limitations there with the travel part of the bucket list. I do think travel would be a really nice thing to be able to pull off right around now.
Okay. Are you going to Italy on this plane or?
I do not plan on going to Italy, but I'm thinking of someplace out of the country.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. Love it. That's just the first step. And then maybe if there's an opening in 2022.
Italy.
Italy. Yes. Love it. Okay. And finally, what does a life well-lived mean to you?
Thank you for asking. I would say when I was jotting down my notes, I kind of wrote down the word burned. And that means that I've burned through what I needed to burn through, kind of just use my energy in a way that it was like I was burning through it, that I used it intentionally, that I really went for it, I guess. And I'm not speaking about anything in particular, but just that I'm using my life intentionally. And the two words that I wrote under that are effort and earnest. So really deciding that I'm going to put my effort here and then doing it with earnestness, that I had some sort of enthusiasm and kind of a push of exploration underneath my efforts.
Right. Like there's a passion there, right? There's this like joie de vivre where we're just like, this is life and I'm going to step up and take an active part in it rather than letting it happen to me and reacting to those events.
Yes. And don't get me wrong. I still react and stay passive to a lot of things, sure, including procrastination. oftentimes, but I do love the fire burning too. I love seeing what I can create and who I can help.
Okay. So wonderful. Dr. Christine Lee, a host of the Make Time for Success podcast. Where else can our listeners find out more information about you?
I am new on TikTok, but I actually really prefer Instagram. So I'm Procrastination Coach there on TikTok. That's my website as well. I invite your listeners to follow along with me as I continue this journey.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. You've been so helpful. I know personally to me with this, just opening my mind about procrastination, mindset, habits, and it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. You're a delight. Your questions are amazing. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
That was our show for today. Thank you so much for allowing us to spend some time together. If you like what you heard and you haven't already, please share with a friend, subscribe, rate, and write a review. You can follow us on Instagram at purposefilter and on our website, purposefilter.com. Join me next time for another episode, and thanks for listening.